Thank you, Sharon Hadley. God bless you. Jesus is the undefeated one. How great thou art. And I want to share with you a message just for a few moments. Jesus is superior. Jesus is superior. Someone asked me this morning before the service began, what does that mean? He's the best. There's none better than Jesus the Christ. I want to share a message with you this morning again about Jesus being superior. You are aware of the truth that oil and water don't mix. You probably have been a part of a science fair project that demonstrated that truth. You may have seen through the years pictures of oil spill in our oceans. You know, because of the molecular properties, that oil and water just don't mix. Well, in one regard, Jesus is going to be making that point today, but it's not oil and water that don't mix. It's Judaism and Christianity just don't mix because Jesus is superior. The scribes and the Pharisees were attempting to mix a little bit of Christianity with their Judaism. And Jesus reminded them in several different ways this morning that we're about to see that Judaism and Christianity just don't mix because Jesus is superior. Hopefully you have found Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. I want you to see here in the first verse that we're looking at this morning a comparison of students. Remember last week, Jesus and his disciples were at a party, at a celebration thrown by Levi or Matthew in honor of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had called Levi to follow him. The scriptures tell us that Levi left everything, left his profession, left his friends, eventually left his belongings to follow Jesus. But before he did, he threw a party. Maybe it was a party to say goodbye, but more than anything else, it was a party, it was a celebration to introduce his friends, his family, his co-workers to the Jesus that saved him. And Jesus' disciples were a part of that celebration. And so Jesus is asked about their behavior in verse 33. It says, then they said to him, perhaps this is the scribes. The scribes said to Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Yours are the party animals. Why is it that they behave this way? Fasting was a spiritual discipline in this day, the abstention of food to demonstrate that God can provide even when we don't have physical sustenance. God will provide to us through his presence. Most of the time, when you see fasting in the Old Testament, the emotion that accompanies fasting is mourning or lament. And so the scribes are asking Jesus, well, why aren't your disciples as spiritual as John's disciples? Why aren't your disciples as spiritual as those of the Pharisees? They're practicing this spiritual discipline of fasting. They are lamenting. They are mournful. And yet your disciples, they're the party animals. They're spending times at at the feast, at the celebration. And obviously, they're not as spiritually mature as John's disciples, as the Pharisees' disciples. Well, Jesus answers their question there in verse 34. Notice his comments about sorrow. He said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days." And so Jesus is commenting on this issue of sorrow, but he uses an analogy. And it's a wedding analogy. Again, look what he says there in verse 34. "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them?" Now, what Jesus is doing here in this analogy is that he is making himself out to be the bridegroom. And if he is the bridegroom, then also in this analogy, who is the bride? His followers. Now, the Apostle Paul would pick up on this analogy in his writings, talking about the bride of Christ, the church. And what Jesus is saying here is, as long as you have the bridegroom with you, why should we be fasting? Because fasting is a sign of lament. Fasting is a sign of sorrow. This is not a time to fast. This is a time to celebrate, like at a wedding. Weddings in this first century Jewish culture, a little bit different than our weddings today. Oftentimes, they would take the form of a wedding feast. You know also that that is a biblical idea that is used throughout the scriptures. But this wedding feast wasn't just simply a Saturday afternoon ceremony and then a reception to follow. This was a feast. This was a celebration for friends and family and community that would last 7 to 10 days. And it was a time of celebration. And it was a time of rejoicing. It was not a time of lament. It was not a time of sorrow. It was not a time of mourning or grief. And so what Jesus says here in this analogy is, says, as long as you have the bridegroom with you, that's me. As long as I'm here, it is a time to celebrate. Because there's coming a time, he foreshadows. There's coming a time when the bridegroom will no longer be with you. He's going to be taken away by his crucifixion. He's going to be taken away ultimately with his ascension. And he says, when the bridegroom is no longer with you, then you can fast. Then you can grieve. Then you can lament. Then you can be sorrowful because of the absence of the bridegroom. But now, the bridegroom is with you. But now, let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. Like my disciples are doing, let's have a party. Well, there in verse 36, he continues. And he's reminding us again, Jesus is superior. He's going to tell 3 very, very, very brief parables. You know what a parable is. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Each of these parables begins with the phrase, "no one." You'll see that phrase, "no one" in verse 36, "no one" in verse 37, "no one" in verse 39. Let's look at the first parable. "No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. So if you have a hole in your old garment, and you take a piece from a newer garment to use as the patch, and if you were to sew it onto that old garment, well, number one, it's not going to look the same. It's going to look different. Maybe a different texture, maybe a different material, maybe a different color. So that's going to be problematic. But then when you take that new piece of cloth, unshrunk, by the way, and then you wash it and wear it, it's going to pull away from that old garment because the older garment has already shrunk. But putting this new piece on an old piece is going to cause even another tear. The old and the new just don't mix. Judaism and Christianity just don't mix. Well, here's a second parable, verse 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. So wineskins were used to carry the wine. And these old animal hides that had carried wine and had expanded with the wine through the fermentation process, and after the wine is poured out, those old wineskins become brittle. Well, if you try to put new wine in there, and then that new wine goes through the process of fermentation, and it expands, well, it's going to bust the wineskins. And so not only are you going to be without wineskins, but now you're going to be without the wine because it will have spilt everywhere. The old and the new just don't mix. Judaism and Christianity just don't mix. And then this third parable. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had drunk the traditions and the preferences and the law of the Old Testament. And even in a word of condemnation, Jesus says, you're not going to want anything new. You're going to be opposed to the new because you're satisfied with the old. The old and the new just don't mix. Judaism and Christianity just don't mix. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they could keep their traditions, keep their preferences, and just sprinkle a little bit of Jesus and his way and his practices into it, and they would be fine. But Jesus says, Judaism and Christianity just don't mix because I am superior. I am the undefeated one. How great thou art. So let me apply that to our lives this morning. If you're here today and you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, you may be thinking, oh, well, I'll come to church a little bit. I'll read my Bible every now and again. I may even practice a little bit of what you guys do, but I'm really trusting in my own morality to earn favor in God's eyes. Maybe I'm trusting in my genealogy, who my family is, who my mom and dad are, who my grandparents are. Surely God will be favorable to me because of them. Maybe you're trusting in your generosity. Well, I give this amount, and I give my time, and I give my influence, and I'll add just a little bit of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus doesn't need any help in saving you. He can do it all by himself. And so if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, and Christ alone, to save you, because Jesus is superior, I'd invite you to do so today. I would invite you to admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. And answer the call of salvation that he has on your life this morning. In just a few moments after I finish praying, we're going to have a time of invitation. And we're going to invite you to respond publicly to the invitation this morning to put your faith and trust in Christ. Because Jesus is superior. There is none better than him. But for others of you this morning, you are followers of Christ. You have put your faith in Christ. And so you think, oh, well, I'll still hang on to this part of my life. What was true of me when I was lost, maybe my relationships, maybe my habits, maybe what I like to do for recreation. I'll just hang on to a little bit of that, but I'll sure mix in a little bit of Jesus every now and then. I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, the old and the new don't mix. Oil and water doesn't mix. Judaism and Christianity don't mix. The old way and the new way don't mix. Because Jesus is superior. Here's how the Apostle Paul worded it. And I can't do any better than this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. You can't try to live like the world and expect to sprinkle in a little bit of Jesus and everything will be okay. Oil and water don't mix. Old and new don't mix. The ways of the world and the ways of Christ don't mix. Jesus is superior. And so in the same way that I would invite you to call on the name of the Lord to be saved this morning, if you are here today and lost without Jesus, if you're here today and yet Jesus is your Savior, would you also understand and apply the truth to your life that he is Lord as well? He is Lord of your life, and he is Lord of every aspect of your life. And so what that means for you this morning is a recommitment or a rededication of your life to the ways of the Lord. Oil and water don't mix. Old and new don't mix. Judaism and Christianity don't mix. But amen and hallelujah, Jesus is superior. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? As I said a moment ago, after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium this morning. And as we are, I and Brother Ronnie will be here at the front, and we'll be ready to welcome you and greet you today. If you would answer that call to faith in Christ, we would be ready to greet you this morning. If you would answer that call to a recommitment and a rededication of your life. If you're a guest with us this morning and you are ready to answer that call to church membership, formally and officially uniting with Emory Baptist Church, because this is where God is leading you and your family to connect and to minister. We would welcome you today. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is undefeated. How great you are. And we bless you and praise you that Jesus is superior. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. And he has come not only to be our Savior, but to be our Lord. And so I pray today that we would surrender unto him. Father, I pray for your Spirit to have his way in our lives and in our midst this morning, be at work individually and collectively in our church and during this time of invitation. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, would you respond today to the invitation?